This week, we're starting a three-part series where we're discussing the ins and outs of raising chickens in your backyard. We solicited questions from our Twitter followers and Facebook friends, and three veterans of the backyard chicken world have come into the Earth Eats studios to try to answer them. Today, it's all about how chickens can help and maybe hurt a garden. We'll start the intros with Alicia Kropf.
We have five chickens, which is the in-town limit, and we live on a small city lot. I think, is it an eighth of an acre? Is that right? I don't even know. It's tiny.
It's just, your backyard.
Right? It's my backyard. We live in the Bryan Park neighborhood, so they're not. These are not big lots.
I'm Jana Wilson, and I guess I'm the country chick. I live out on. I have 20 acres outside of the city, and I have anywhere from 25 in the winter to 80 to 90 in the summer because I hatch.
And I'm Tom Berich. I live just on the outskirts of Bloomington, so I'm at just outside the city limit. So I have eight birds, mixed flock, and I am starting to hatch as well. And it's very much suburbs, but just outside the city limits.
So you don't have to follow the city rules?
No, we don't.
And Alicia, let's talk about that. What are the rules that you have to follow since you are in the city of Bloomington?
Okay, well, they just changed recently. So the rules that we have to follow is you can have a limit of five birds. They all have to be hens. You can have no roosters, cockerels, anything like that. You have to have an enclosure for those birds that I believe is 60 square feet for five birds. You have to have that enclosure has to be a certain specific number of feet from every other piece, every other building nearby. So it has to be so many feet from my fence, from my neighbors, from the neighbors behind me. Mm-hmm. You no longer have to have neighborhood permission, although it's nice to tell them.
Mm-hmm. That's a change.
That is a change.
Sure.
That's a huge change. That's a change that happened at the city council last spring.
Mm-hmm. So then you guys who are not in the city, is it just sort of like a free-for-all? You can do whatever you want on the farm?
Well, with my experience being still in the suburbs and heavily suburbs, I have neighbors on all sides. I don't want to say that it's a free-for-all because there's a matter of neighborly courtesy that you have to keep with. And really, as long as you check with all of your neighbors, make sure that, you know, if you do let your chickens free range, which I do on occasion, you know, they're not bothering them. I do have a rooster, which is one of the things that, you know, Alicia can't do. And even though we live in the same kind of area, you know, you do want to check with them because at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have this animal screaming bloody murder in the backyard.
Well, gosh, what are the perks of having a rooster other than this alarm clock?
Chicks.
That's it. Predators. They help guard a flock.
Absolutely. And especially if you have your chickens free range a bit, you know, they will keep dogs away. and they'll keep other things away, though.
What breed do you have?
I have a Bard Rock.
Okay.
Rooster.
Yeah. Because my roosters are completely useless.
Really?
Completely useless. They're
wow.
Lovely little birds. Sicilian buttercups.
Okay, sure.
They're small.
Yeah, the little things.
Yeah, but completely useless.
Well, let's talk about your birds because you raise interesting birds, Jana. These Sicilian buttercups.
Mm-hmm, they are. In the American Livestock Breed Conservancy listing, they used to be threatened. I believe they've taken a step up and now they're critical. I think that's the difference. So they're not as threatened as they used to be, but there are very, very few of them around. They, as time has gone on, a lot of heritage breeds have suffered this fate of they're almost extinct because the production of birds are just one or two different breeds. And so people, farmers, you know, quit raising various types of breeds in their backyards because it wasn't productive. It wasn't economical for them.
Let's describe what they look like. They're beautiful.
They really are. Well, the most distinctive feature about them is their comb. It's a cup, a circular cup on top of their head. The comb is you could put, an egg inside of a male's comb. It's a very large comb. And the females are a beautiful golden color with a spangling from their shoulders back, the black spangling. And they're great egg layers.
They are.
Yeah, they're like the leghorn.
Mm-hmm. Do they work as dual purpose at all? Do you eat them?
I do eat them. Mm-hmm. I do eat them. They're not considered a meat bird or a production bird. Like most egg-laying birds, most of their energy goes into the eggs. And so they're pretty skinny little things.
Yeah.
Hence those wimpy males.
Yeah,
are
the roosters
not
don't do
really good at fending off predators.
Sure.
We're talking about what you use your chickens for. So we've got eggs and for meat. What are some of the other things that chickens give you?
I can answer that one. For us, anyway. So we got into it primarily from a pet standpoint because my daughter was interested in that. But as a family, we were interested in sustainability and gardening and producing our own food. And because some of ours have a pet designation, they're never going to be marked for the axe. They just never will be. But I use my chickens primarily for eggs. I also use their droppings for compost in all my gardens.
Yes, absolutely.
And based on what I have planted where, I funnel them into different areas of my yards to do my tilling because they're much more efficient. And I'm a really lazy gardener. And if I can put my chickens in there for a day and they can dig up everything and turn all the soil,
absolutely,
it's better for me.
Yeah. And you want to move them frequently because, as Alicia said, they'll tear up anything, which is, if you want them to tear up stuff, it's great. But if you don't, you have to keep moving them around or they will turn any patch of earth, grass into dirt. So, mine too.
Like to go under and
they
do
don't eat the vegetables?
I found that mine go for the bugs first.
Well, the thing we've discovered is that in regards to the vegetables and the bugs, yes, they absolutely are going to go for the bugs first. But the problem is if you've got bugs on tomatoes, they're just going to spear the tomatoes. Mm-hmm. They'll actually destroy the tomatoes that
they
way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not for the chicken.
No, it's exactly. It's delicious for them.
There are ways around it. You know, we have a small garden area, and I do plant things that will spill out over so that they can eat what comes over the fence. Or, you know, there are people who plant like a moat, like between where their garden is, not a literal moat full of water, but like you'll dig out so there's space so a chicken can't put its head through the fence and actually get the vegetables. Or you can do other plants. I'll plant various tomatoes and things around my yard for them to free range in. Mm-hmm. So
because they're pretty tenacious, you know.
They are.
They'll stick their heads out and really go for a lot if they're inside of a fence. Yes. They're very tenacious.
I have a grape arbor that they're just – I've had to really – it's like grape Fort Knox. I mean, we have to really, really, really clean them.
I mean, the cliche is the chickens are dumb, but and while that may be, they're actually very wily. They're survivors.
They are.
Next week, Alicia, Jana, and Tom will talk about protecting their birds from predators and disease. If you're impatient, listen to the complete conversation on our website right now, eartheats.org.